Two-man game, TMG, get the news fast, AMG, game of two boxes. Name two boxes that hit as hard as this. Yeah, we're cutting to the truth, no, there ain't no narrative. Eyes up on the cup this year, hear the stadium erupt this year. For my team, TMG.
TMG, welcome to the TMG podcast on this great Monday evening, you know, recording day with myself, JA, and my boy Mellow Mate.
TMG!
Aye, man, I just want to get straight into the nitty gritty because...
You trying to get straight into
it? I'm just trying to get straight into it, man. No messing.
No lay.
No delay, fam, because something amazing happened this Talk weekend. Last weekend, they traded my boy, fam. You know what's so mad about this? I want to go through what happened, and then I'm going to go through the conspiracy. So we're going to go through what happened first, and I'm going to tell you about the conspiracy here. This is the most shocking trade. People talk about the most shocking trade that's ever happened in the NBA.
Definitely in my lifetime.
Do you remember how you got the news? How did you see and find that?
Yes. I woke up around... 6-ish, I checked my phone. I got the Bleacher Report notification saying Luke has been traded. I thought this was a joke, innit? So I clicked on it, and then it was actually, you know, official by Shams. And I was thinking, whoa, like, you know, and I even saw Shams saying, you know, this is a real, this is not a drill type of thing. I was like, rah, this shit is actually real. And that's how, you know, I was introduced to the news that Luke had been traded.
You know me, I'm the biggest Luke guy. Looked at my phone, I saw ESPN notification, Luka to Lakers, AD to Dallas. I was thinking, oh, this is a mock trade idea, you know? Like, oh, this is a mock trade. This is something that they might mock, like, do. Then I go in, I see KA say, wait! In the middle of the night, they just traded Luka. I couldn't believe it. I went on Twitter again. I saw the Suns tweet. I said, oh my gosh. In the middle of the night. I just literally couldn't believe it. It's like what? I thought maybe Luka committed a crime. That they traded him before he committed a crime or something. Or something had happened. I just couldn't believe it. Like, it just like that. Just done. Done in Dallas. Like, actually just traded in the middle of the night. And everyone was just... Because there'd been no news. Because normally when you hear a trade, you hear rumblings. Like, oh... All of a sudden, this player's unhappy. This player wants to leave. This one was just shock. The shock horror of it. Luka's gone, man. Luka's gone from Dallas. All the memories, taking them to the final.
When did it start to feel real for you, though?
When he did an interview. I didn't even believe it was real. I thought I was going to rescind that thing. I thought, oh, maybe this is a joke. But when it felt real was when the GM sat down and talked. And he was laughing like, yeah, we're trying to build a team. Defense wins champions. I sat down and said, What's actually going on? Like, really and truly. Like, this is something that someone logically sat down and thought. I was like, oh, I am gonna trade one of the top five players in the NBA for AD.
Always dinged. Free clothes. Unreliable.
The most unreliable superstar in the history of the game, maybe one of the most unreliable superstars that there's been.
I can't call AD. He's a borderline
superstar. He's a borderline superstar, but you traded an international superstar to the Lakers. It seemed like no matter what the Lakers do, they can be the most disorganized franchise in the world. They will somehow land a superstar. And that's what they do. They always lean into it. They don't make their superstars. They trade for them. All the superstars are traded for in a way. And they just locked into Luka. Like, I don't know what Dallas is building. I haven't got a clue. And the championship window is very short with this. But it just seems like there were some people in the back of front of us that were had it out for Luka, man. And he just didn't think he had the commitment to winning. Which, you know, we'll find out. When did it feel real for you? Like, you actually deep to her. Wait, Luka's not actually no longer a Maverick.
When did it feel real? It felt real once I started to hear the interviews and watch all like the post video analysis or the post occasion analysis of all like the, you know, the talking heads going through it, and I was thinking, bro, like, and I understood how the trade came about, what the quote unquote thought process is or was from Nico Harrison and, you know, the brass at the Dallas Mavericks, and obviously they're harping on the, you know, defense wins championships, the fact that Luka's conditioning and the attitude defense wasn't there. And but every time, you know, I start thinking about it, I think I'll just start realizing that this is actually crazy. Like, when they listed his achievements thus far, and the fact that he actually, I mean, still part of it, it's still probably still 5% of it that's still unreal to him, because he got them to a championship game.
Yeah, he got them there.
He got them to the final, but they shouldn't really have been there. What, just the last season?
Two times he's achieved things beyond where they should be. Like, he got them to the Western Conference final with a roster that wasn't good enough.
100%.
And he got them to the finals beating, he on the road. They were not the home team against the Clippers, the Thunder, the Wolves. And he was the best player in all of the series. Probably bar the OKC, could say Shea probably played better than him in that series. But he was probably the top two player in each of the series that came in. He was, in fact, when they went into the final, they were saying that Luka is the best player in the world. That's what they were saying. That is it. That's the narrative.
I mean, and you know, with reason. My thing with the Luka trade is that, like I said, they were cautious or maybe worried about him not like having the right attitude to defense, blah blah blah. If Luka just stays the same, you know, he's gone to what, all NBA teams, first team for the first
five of those first 6 years.
Five of the first 6 years consistently. And the only guys who have done that are like LeBron James.
He's got more than LeBron. LeBron's never been, it's not, didn't even do
so it. There's only boy guys that have at least five throughout their whole careers, like LeBron, I think KD, James Harden, and someone else. Not even Steph. It's not even
Steph. You know, like, what this I mean? Is what I'm trying to say.
If Luka
even Jokic doesn't have five.
If Luka's has stayed the same and you managed to pair him up with defensive talent, the guys who make up for his weaknesses, you could have won at least one chip.
You could win one chip. Like Jokic has won one chip.
At least one chip.
I think it's so short-sighted, because I think the fact that maybe they're forgetting is that he's 25 years old.
25.
25 years old, and he's achieved all of this. And you're basically saying, we're betting against Luka. You're saying, we don't think Luka can get better from where he is right now. He's not going to change.
Even if he does not get better, even if he just stays the same for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. If you pair him up, like I said, or set him up with players that are going to do the dog work for him, the dirt work for him, and, you know, mask his weaknesses, you'll probably eke out at least one chip, like you did with, what's his name?
Dirk.
Dirk got to two finals and won one chip.
And that's the trajectory that he's on. What I'm trying to understand is that, okay, you're Dallas now, and you see your team, you're saying, okay, I've got Kyrie Irving. I'm happy with Kyrie Irving being the lead ball handler. Okay, I want to give people this and the historical evidence. What in history has told you that Kyrie as the lead ball handler can get you to a championship? It's never happened before, and you think it's going to happen now? And he's got a bulging disc in his back. When AD has been the star man in your team, what has ever happened? Nothing's ever happened.
That's the thing.
Nothing's ever happened. AD's actually been playing with LeBron. They've only finished in the top six in the West once.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, even if guys say, oh, you could combine the two, which I hear, but you've seen Kyrie with someone who's more reliable and better than AD in KD. Mm. And what happened there?
Nothing happened.
Even had James Harden as well.
Bro, that's what I'm trying to say. This is why I don't get it. He's been with KD. He's shown you he couldn't do it. AD has been with everyone, basically. He only did it once in the bubble. There's no empirical evidence that this can work. Nothing has shown you that this can work. But there's some people that are so stubborn in the way that they think, that they think, oh, the West is right now. Let me go and get AD. When you only have one ball handler, Kyrie. I saw Kyrie in the playoffs. If you put a big defend on him, he doesn't do anything. He can't do it anymore. He can't. Maybe he'll break you down for one or two baskets, but he's not a man that's going to do it consistently. He actually needed Luka. Luka takes the strain off him. He was the option B. He's not option 1A, Kyrie. You're going to break him down. You're just going to put bodies on him. You're going to see so many bodies. No one else in the team can handle the ball. So that's what I'm trying to answer. I'm so confused by that. Maybe defensively, you might be amazing. Defensively, you're going to be crazy, because PJ can guard, AD can guard, a center in the middle as well. Like, it'd be crazy. But can you score in the half court? You won't be able to score.
Clay can not guard as he used to, but he can, if he's guarding like, you know, your second or third guard slash wing threat, then he can do something.
Mm.
I mean, Kyrie, he's not known for guarding, but he does try when he wants to. You know what I mean? But the only thing they lack is ball handling, really, because Kyrie and what?
Clay doesn't dribble. PJ doesn't dribble. AD's not really an off the dribble threat, so.
Yeah.
You have to figure that out. That's going to be an issue now. In the playoffs, that's easy to beat because when the clutch defense happen, when the clutch moments happen and you slow it down, you're relying on Kyrie. Fair enough, man. That's it. I've seen it before. Kyrie might get you a bucket of one and two, but he's not going to do it in a 7-game series consistently.
Well, since you've got Spencer Dinwiddie.
But that means you have to sacrifice someone else.
Spencer Dinwiddie, he can, you know.
You have to sacrifice. Who did you take out? You take out Clay?
Hmm?
You lose shooting if you take
out Clay. No. He's not to start, but he's someone that can.
What will happen is that AD will slide to the five in the clutch and then they'll put another ball handler in. If AD's even fit, because they might not even make the playoffs this year. They're the eighth seed.
You got, Max Christian, the handler. But you got, like I said, you got Spencer Dinwiddie. You've got Dante Exum can do a little bit. I'm not sure about Hardy. You can maybe, what's it called? Enlighten me on that one. They got defenders. They got
what I want to understand.
Marshall can defend.
Yeah. Nah, what I want to understand is that last year, where I'm confused is that they didn't lose the chip because of defense. They lost because they couldn't shoot threes. They shot what? 9%. Everyone outside of Lucas shot 9% from three. That's including Kyrie. So what was the reason? And they sat down and said, oh, Lucas' temperament is so bad that he cannot be the main man anymore. That's what they basically said.
I mean, something must happen that we're unaware of. Something bad must happen. But I've seen rumors that it came above Nico Harrison. It was there.
It went to the... But then Nico said that he's the one that brought the idea up and then told it back and the guy laughed. So that's not true. There's no way the owner... I saw the owner's quotes. Yeah, the owner made some quotes about like singular focus, working hard. And guess the guys he was mentioning.
Yeah.
He mentioned Bird, he mentioned Jordan, he mentioned Kobe, he mentioned Shaq.
Yeah.
About working hard every day. Shaq.
Shaquille
O'Neal, you know. That's the guy he mentioned. As working harder than Luka Doncic every day.
He doesn't know what he's talking about then. Well, you mentioned Shaq, Kobe, Bird, and who?
And Jordan.
So you got three out of four, right? But
this is what I'm trying to say. Jordan, notoriously known for gambling, smoking cigars.
He did, but...
And off the field, it's off the field.
I think they're...
And he's the one that in his own documentary that said he only started getting into the gym around 27 against the Pistons.
No, he started doing weights.
Doing weights around 27.
Still working hard.
Well, who used to say that Luka's not been working hard? Luka, to get to this level, you must be working sufficiently hard.
No, it was still like... Let me take that. But Jordan didn't have any condition issues. Jordan was still in great condition.
He was always in great condition. He just had to bulk up.
Just had to put some strength on.
Bird, notoriously known for being a drinker. Natural talent as well. Practices his craft. That's more similar to what Luka's doing, would you not say?
Yeah, but Bird never was known for having condition issues and being lazy on defense.
He had a bad back, bro. He lasted 12 years.
He lasted 12 years because he had an injury that he couldn't deal with. But the injury didn't arise from him being poorly conditioned.
We'll never know.
In fact, Bird on defense, he actually made two defensive teams.
But the game is different. Because if you just said be big, rebound, then you could say that Luka's a good defender as well. Because you're not doing one-on-one back then.
But the thing is, Bird actually tried. Like, Luka defensively is atrocious.
Yeah, so he doesn't.
He
might try maybe
like
once every...
The statistics say, like, he gets blown by the most.
That's a made-up stat.
I don't think it's
made-up. Stat. His defensive end is actually one of the best, actually. And he makes steals. Blown by is a... Did you ever talk about blown by? When did you hear about it?
That's a ridiculous... I heard about it now. Like,
yeah, that's a ridiculous stat. That's a ridiculous...
People just walking by him. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it
you know
might walk by him. It might be underlay defense.
You know how Pat Bev said that... erroneously said that Chris Paul's a cone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what...
He's trying to say
that, look at the cone.
We're winning a winning series. Just to let you know, look at the cone. Has won multiple series against guys that are probably targeting him every single position. So that's a bit interesting. Secondly, I think there's a lot of tiredness in the blown by stat because he had dragged his team to the final and he was injured. So I think that was a made up stat, to be honest. I want to defend him on that. But then, okay, Kobe, there was an allegation that Kobe, what was Kobe doing off the court? What happened off the court? When there was one when he did something, I had to go, he was going flying back and forth for the
kids. It was on court. I mean, yeah, that's egregious.
It's egregious, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it was true.
And Nico Harrison would have traded him still. That's his guy. or they traded him right there on the spot. But I'm going, that's not the part of the culture, isn't it? We're doing that. That's crazy. That's his guy, you know. We're doing something crazy of the culture.
I mean, potentially, but the other stuff, like I said, the conditions and defense issues that you couldn't attribute to Kobe. You could attribute that to Shaq. You could.
Every single thing. Shaq would have got traded at 25.
Conditioning, but Shaq,
his most dominant basketball player. Yes.
Conditioning and defense, but no, Shaq didn't have defensive issues. It was just conditioning issues.
It's different because Shaq played in this era. You don't think he would have defensive issues?
Like, would have more than he did back then, but he still protects the rim. Like, fair enough. Challenging Shaq at the rim, like, Luka doesn't protect the rim, and Luka doesn't protect the perimeter. He doesn't protect
that. No, he doesn't do any of that. But
he might get you a couple steals.
As an offensive hub, are you telling me he's not one of the greatest offensive hubs?
Oh, he is. At least with Jokic, Jokic.
Yeah, he's a big body.
Big body.
So is Luka, though.
Yeah, but he's a perimeter.
He's a center. Center's Matt Jamba center. No center is really killing you off the dribble, are they? That's the reason why Luka getting killed, because he's a guard.
I mean, but even then, Jokic is still. I remember Draymond Green doing a breakdown of Jokic at the rim, defending the rim. He was poor. But you know,
awful at the moment.
But you know, like I said, the Nuggets, they
found things to
they
offset his
created. Yeah, they created a team that's going to offset his deficiencies, which was shown, and they won the chip. But I think he didn't have conditioning issues, Jokic.
All I want to know is that, okay, Dallas said they made this trade to win now, okay. What team has won without a top 10 player in the last 20 years? Let's go even back the history of basketball.
To be fair, AD and Kyrie can... AD definitely has a big case of being top 10. Kyrie is right now probably outside.
Okay, so let's say an arguable top 10.
But they can definitely, on their best days, both be in the top 10.
Okay,
top 10
so players. Let's go through the list. So let's go back. So last year, the Celtics won. Mm-hmm. Say Tatum is a top 10 player.
Yeah, Tatum, yeah. And Brown can approximate top 10, which he did.
So that's it. Nuggets won, Jokic.
Bucks had Giannis.
Yes. Lakers.
Warriors had Steph. Lakers, I think he Raptors had Kawhi.
Keep going back. When give me a time when there's not a top 10 player on the team.
2004 Pistons. I can remember.
So you're telling me, so they said, okay, we've looked at the recent history of the NBA, and we've decided that we don't need an offensive hub, one of the arguable top 10 of offensive. We're going to choose a defensive-minded team, and we think that's the best way to win a championship. And the only case of the last 20-plus years is the Detroit Pistons. Isn't that an outlier? I must say defense wins championships. You have to score the ball. You have to put pressure. Sometimes offense is defense. If you're going to now face the Lakers now, are you not telling me that you need to think about, oh, we actually need to score 130 points, you know, today? Because they have two of the best on-ball creators to ever play the game. You now need to be thinking, wow, what I need to do is go above and beyond. That's where mistakes happen. That's where you rush shots. That's offense creating defense, you know? Because now you have to score. You have to score at the same level that they're scoring. That's pressure. That's a different type of pressure. Every possession counts. Their man know that if Luka and LeBron mess up one position, they get likely to score again. They're going to have a crazy offensive rating. There's so much attention. Try double Luka now. You'll die. You'll die, fam. Will you play 4-3 with LeBron being the decision maker? Just give it up. That's the smartest basketball player that's ever played. With one of the other smart... You can't have two Einsteins. The only way that it messes up is that both of them look at each other and both of them's games start to clash. Which I don't foresee, because I think LeBron is one of the most adaptable superstars that's ever played a game.
I don't think he's that. I think when he wants to be, I think LeBron, it always has to pay for the LeBron system, and Luka is a version of that. It's just all about, I think most of this is on LeBron. How much of the rope is he willing to let go to Luka?
Because I think if LeBron is willing to adapt to a point where he decides, okay, I'm not going to be the on-ball creator as much. It's going to be a Luka's game, but I will have secondary responsibility. He can extend his career.
He can. I feel if they stagger the minutes, like they start
they
together.
They will stagger.
They start together and finish together. But, you know, Luka with the second unit and then LeBron with, you know, maybe the first unit. And obviously, like I said, they finished together. I thought they can really get things done. It's unfortunate that the trade got rescinded for Mark Williams because of the injuries. Mm-hmm. But I do like Don Kinnett, but I guess they will probably have to give him up to get a good big.
Yeah, they'll give him up eventually. But then think about that. They're going to have at least one of Luka and LeBron on the court at all times.
Yeah.
Like, and even Austin Reeves is there.
But yeah, that's great. But defensively,
yeah. That's it. At least if there's one of them, that's
Austin Reeves is not great.
Yeah,
Luka's poor. LeBron.
But how often do you think? Okay, so LeBron, you play.
Become bad
when all three of them will play. It'll probably be like start of the game.
Third
quarter and maybe the end.
But if that's the thing though, but you can't hide LeBron on defense. LeBron, out of those three, LeBron's the best defender. LeBron's gonna have to guard someone that's actually capable on the wing. So LeBron will
guard the four.
But you can't guard, no, I think Luka will have to guard the four. Because LeBron's still more athletic than Luka right now.
Then what you have to do is that he has to take less of an offensive load than LeBron then.
He does. He probably does. Him or Reeves have to take less of an offensive load and focus more. Well, him, I focus more on defense. But even Luka has to focus more on defense. We'll have to chip in and focus more on defense.
Yeah,
have to
chip in, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think Reeves is going to have to take a significantly less load and focus more on defense. He's going to have to work more on his catch and shoot.
Yeah.
They have to get a four that's...
Well, LeBron might end up guarding fives.
Potentially, that Finney Smith and what's his face?
And Vanderbilt.
And Vanderbilt and the other brother and another decent defender. And Hachimura and there's one more as well, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
He can probably guard some guards.
But he can guard some guards, yeah.
Yeah, the issue.
I'm telling you, I've seen Luka took Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock and Dwight Powell to the Western Conference Final. You don't think you can do this with these guys in his LeBron system? This is possible. Very possible.
You can.
And if LeBron focus being more of a scorer. Actually, to be fair, this is what I think. From now to now, it might change. Luka might be the scorer. LeBron might be the scorer. It just depends.
Yeah,
it just depends on who's feeling it tonight. Who's got the better matchup? Because what happens now? Let's say they match up against OKC. You're facing SGA, Jalen Williams, Chet Hartenstein and Lou Dort.
Yeah.
Who's guarding LeBron?
Say that again, please.
Who's guarding LeBron? Lou Dort. They got SGA, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Hartenstein. Who's guarding LeBron?
Dort or Williams.
But who's guarding Luka?
Dort or Williams.
Dort or Williams. Williams too small.
One of those
two. One of them has to guard.
Yeah.
One of them has to guard, bro.
Because Shea can't guard those guys.
Shea can't guard those guys. They're too small. One of them has to guard. You're getting cooked, man. And think about it. Leave LeBron. LeBron, switch onto one of Chet Holmgren, that little man. He's taking him into the basket, bro. They're chomping him alive. That's what I'm telling you. It's possible. The team that I don't like the matchup against is obviously... I actually don't like the matchup against the Mavericks or the Denver Nuggets because they're quite big. But Dallas is injury prone. Denver, if they play AG and Jokic, it's a bit of a... At least Jokic doesn't guard the rim. Anthony Gordon... Aaron Gordon, it's tough. It's tough because we can guard the rim and he can actually guard up against LeBron, which is tough. But Michael Porter Jr. can't guard anything, so that's it, man.
You can't guard anything?
Michael Porter Jr. can't guard nothing as well. He can guard a pot car.
So he's pretty athletic and he's got good size, but actually defense is about willingness.
It's about willingness, yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on who's willing to defend, who's willing to put in the time, isn't it? So it is what it is. We'll see, man. With the Luka thing, I think the more and more the time passes, we will get more and more pieces. Conditioning, fair enough. If you don't think he's going to... What I don't understand is that why didn't Dallas just tell Luka that, okay, we're not going to give you the Supermax. We're not going to give you a deal until we see that this changes. If your conditioning, all of these things change, then we can give you the deal. Fair enough. They're saying the culture thing, I think, is a bit of an insult because you're telling me Luka doesn't contribute to a culture. So Luka wasn't the one driving you to a conference finals and the finals, basically. On the court, like, why is it? Does success have to look one way? That's what people are trying to say. Success looks many different ways. Because Kobe might have done something doesn't mean that everyone else has to do it. Contribute to winning, isn't it? So I'm still shocked. I'm still shocked to today. I just can't believe that they traded away the guy. I'm still baffled. I just want to know why. I'm still baffled. I just don't get it. Someone will tell us one day.
I mean, with Luka, I mean,
with him, his thing is funny because it's the first time, this trade is even funny because it's the first time two reigning all NBA players have been traded for each other.
Yep.
You know, this is what adds to the monumental size of the trade. Luka being first and AD being second, all NBA team. Furthermore, the Lakers, you know, the history, their history is, it's
just full of trades.
It's unbelievable. They always acquire or obtain somehow a superstar. Gone all the way back. Who's the Lakers' first superstar?
Elgin Baylor. They went before Elgin Baylor. Who's the guy?
I think the Minneapolis Lakers.
Minneapolis Lakers, they had, what's it? It's white guy.
Yeah, it's like white big. What's his name?
I can't remember his name. I'll try and play him.
Okay, it's all coming out to me. But even after him, well, there's Baylor, but Baylor didn't win.
Yeah,
but,
Baylor didn't win. Jerry West won one.
The West.
Will Chamberlain play for the Lakers?
Chamberlain, yes, who else? After Chamberlain?
After Chamberlain, I'm trying to think. Magic came
before
in.
Magic.
Kareem.
Yeah, Kareem.
They had Kareem, they've had Magic, they've had Shaq, they've had Kobe.
If you want to throw Worthy into that.
They had Worthy as well as the number one draft pick. How can the Lakers get the number one draft pick?
At one point, they had four first picks.
They had Michael Thompson, they had Magic Johnson, they had James Worthy, they had Kareem.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And after Kobe, who was there?
Shaq. Oh, there's Shaq. LeBron.
Yep. And if you want to throw AD in, so you can throw AD. Yeah, AD. You want to throw Powell? You want to throw
Powell.
You know, now they got Luka Magic.
Luka Magic, bro. I think, do you know what I would say then? I have this category of, you know, the idea of the guy is better than what the player is. And there's a few people like this in a multiple different.
Who does that ring true for?
I think Paul George is one of those.
Oh, yeah.
AD?
Yeah. Embiid.
Embiid? And then if we go to other sports, like
maybe Dame Lillard.
Ooh, that's controversial.
I like him, but maybe.
The idea of Dame is better than the player.
Yeah. Who else is there? There's another guard as well. Iverson was one.
So the idea of Iverson is better than the actual what he produced. I think Paul George is the biggest lunatic. He's this prototype guard. But what actually is he?
I think the most controversial one might be a one Kobe Bryant.
The idea of Kobe is better than it. To be fair, if you look at it, two chips, they call him, compares him to Jordan.
Doesn't mean he's not great.
He's not great. He's great, but the idea of what Kobe did, the further we move away from it, you know what? You know, you could just say the idea of
Kobe. Do you know my football version will be of that bit? So, I think that's something we could stretch out to the audience. Make sure you comment about that. And I'll probably even do a clip of that. Idea being a greater than actual player.
Ja Felix is the number one.
In my list. But you know who my biggest one is? Culprit.
He's your biggest culprit.
Yes. It's going to be unpopular. It's going to be controversial.
The idea of the players, but what country?
Spanish.
Spanish player. So you talk about Sergio Ramos.
There you go. Sergio. Mr. Record. 30 career records, I believe, or 29.
So you're saying the idea of Sergio Ramos is better than the player?
100%. Doesn't mean he's not great. He's a great player.
Okay. I see the logic behind that. There's a lot of players. If you look at that in sports, the idea of the player, the idea of that person is better than the actual results. Like, look at modern day football now, you know. You look at João Félix, like, the idea of João Félix is amazing. This player that can do all of this, but what he actually produces is... just so sure.
What's happened to Jarvis? You were in Jarvis. People saying his next Kaka.
Maybe he can produce at AC Milan. Maybe he can produce at AC Milan, isn't it? But he's just not it, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not it.
Is that it? Nah. Well,
you never buy Fold Wonder Kids.
Sorry?
Fold Wonder Kids, they just... yeah, you just don't buy them. Look at the lit. Tried at so many places, just not it. I'm trying to think of another guy. The idea of that player is better than him. I think the Havertz is the idea of the idea of Havertz is better than Havertz. Havertz is arse. Yeah, that's one guy. Trying to think of another player like that. I think it happens a lot with centre backs, you know. As in, you have this big centre back, athletic and all of this, but he can't pass. He can't do any of that. I'm trying to think of another guy. Trying to think of another guy that the idea of that player was better than the player. I think Chelsea, Fofana, the idea of Fofana is better than him, the player. Always injured. They think he's Saliba, but he's not. Well,
Fofana, that's
yeah.
True.
There's a lot, that's it. I think all the Chelsea centre-backs, Colwell as well. Colwell falls into that. The idea of Colwell sounds amazing. Even Reece James right now, the idea of him is just not it anymore. It happens, isn't it? Szoboszlai as well, I think, for Liverpool. The idea of Szoboszlai is just... No, just not that good a player.
I suppose he's a good player. He's just not making the starting team.
It doesn't make the starting team. It doesn't make impact as well when he plays.
He's got Spurs is one of the best ball strikers though.
He is, but he doesn't shoot.
The ball striking is amazing.
Anyway, quick before we close, I was going to talk about UCL, but let's talk about Canelo. I know you are a boxing analyst. There's a lot going on in the boxing world. So inform us. There's a lot of back and forth with Canelo. What happened to Canelo last week?
Canelo and Crawford.
Because we'll talk about full fight deal. Then it was like he was going to fight Jake Paul, but then it got confirmed.
Similar to what happened with Luca. Like, a lot of it's not been revealed yet, but essentially. I think he may have wanted more money from Turkey, which he's got by threatening the Jake Paul move.
Okay.
Because Jake Paul is a massive...
cash cow right now.
Cash cow. And, you know, still Jake Paul would offer him more money than Crawford would. Let's be real. But, yeah. But he used that as a baiting tactic to get Turkey to offer him more money, which has happened. And eventually signed a four-fight deal with Mr. Turkey Al-Sheikh and Riyad Season. And he'll fight probably Jamal Charlo or Bruno Soares. Bruno Soares, the one that KO'd Magia. Jamal Charlo obviously looking to avenge his brother, Jamel Charlo. And it's looking like to be Crawford in September. That's the big one.
Yeah. Is that going to be in America or in...
Looks like it's in America. Apparently, well, the initial post before he got called off and back on was supposed to be in the LA... No, what's it called? The LA Raiders Stadium.
Oh, wow. So he's going to play in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be in that the sphere. That's what it's called, I think. The sphere. Wait, that's crazy. No, the sphere is a different venue. You're gonna be in the Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay, because obviously he normally fights in September for Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah.
Turkey signed off on that. I'm surprised he didn't want to bring it to Saudi. Still,
he's done some fights in America, but
Oh, he did a Crawford card in America, yeah. Didn't he?
You know, and those guys don't want to, you know, America's they're still
the mecca.
The mecca of entertainment. So,
the thing is it still the mecca of boxing?
Well, it's shifting to Saudi. It depends how
long. Except for the tank doesn't.
But Americans are fortunate because not only does America have produced the best boxers, Mexico is also up there for producing the best boxers as well.
So they have it all in one space.
Yeah, obviously they.
But I feel like the UK market has tapped into Saudi. Like, they don't mind having their fights to Saudi.
That's where they're getting paid a lot more. And UK's not really been a mecca of boxing like that. It has its occasional big fights, but usually the UK.
I feel like recently UK's had the UK have bigger fights than the US.
Recently,
US fights are not happening.
Recently, it has, but this is only like been a short wave. Whereas America, the history it has all in all, and even if you do the biggest fights, the biggest boxers, have more so been America still. Like even right now, the biggest UK boxers are what AJ. Fury and they come to the end.
Done.
Who else is that? You look at what? I don't know. Conor Ben. And
I think there aren't there Ben and Eubank's going
to
fight now.
They're supposed to be fighting, yeah. Who else is there?
Well, what's that? Azeem? Is it Adam Azeem or something like that?
But with America, you still got Crawford.
Spence is done.
You got Tank.
Tank doesn't fight.
Doesn't fight, but still a massive draw.
Stevenson. He's boring.
He's a bit boring.
Haney.
He had Haney on the down low.
He's down.
He still had Ryan Garcia.
Garcia is probably one of the biggest names.
You got a lot. You got Jake Paul if you want to call him
Tank
one.
Tank doesn't want to fight Stevenson. Tuck had it signed off, you know. He had it going ready, but Tank said nah.
Tank doesn't... I don't know. I don't know if Tank wants more money. I can't really answer that question, but he's not messing with Turkey for some stupid reason.
Just doesn't want to lose his all. He's a terrible fighter, to be honest. He's not going to go to the boxing Hall of Fame. You do know that?
Sorry?
Tank's not going to the Boxing Hall of Fame right now.
You think?
What notable fight?
Actually, yeah, at this point, if he's critting today, he probably won't. He's a 2-8. Nah, he probably won't still.
Well, that's like saying, is Adrian Broner going to make it?
AB.
That's a full weight. That's a full weight champion.
Adrian Broner, his one is controversial still.
You think he makes it?
AB one's controversial, I can't lie.
Flip. He turned into a gatekeeper and he's still fighting, so.
AB is controversial though.
Full weight champion.
AB is controversial
still. Do you think he makes it?
I think you should. For if you're a champion, you should. The Boxing Hall of Fame, is it that? I don't think it's more stringent than NBA, but it's not as harsh as
Basketball Hall of Fame
as NFL.
Anyone could make it.
You could, you know,
me and you could make it still.
They didn't put Fingy as a first ballot. Eli Manning.
Yeah, that's the hardest Hall of Fame to make. NFL one, yeah? That's the hardest one. Without a doubt. Like, there's no doubt that that's the hardest one to make. Because not everyone makes that one. Oh, what's going on here?
This guy. Focus.
Focus, man. You focus.
Focus.
Come on, Inter.
Come on, Inter. Lock in.
Lock in.
But flipping. Yeah, that's what I would say regarding him.
It's interesting. I feel like the Saudis got involved in boxing, but they still haven't been able to tap into the US market. Maybe this Canelo and Crawford is tapped in. Crawford will fight Canelo. Who do you think wins?
Canelo's too big. But even speaking about those two, Canelo, 62-2, two draws, 39 KOs.
64 fights. From this fight, crazy.
He has nothing to. Well, see, 66 fights. He has nothing. He's probably going to end up with 70 fights. Mm-hmm. He has nothing to gain. Really, apart from a big payday, which is
he still the biggest name in boxing? Or is there a void?
He probably is, yeah. Well, it might be, arguably, numbers wise, it might be Jake Paul, but which brings me to say, but he probably is because Crawford is only starting to get there right now. I think Crawford beats him, he will be, but that'll be short lived. AJ was set to be, but AJ fell off. Tyson Fury has fallen off. Usyk's not really that sort of guy. This is like a Jokic, you know. The best boxer, but not nowhere near the best superstar.
Hey, can I? I was going to talk about this, but I've got a conspiracy.
There we go.
It's the conspiracy. So, you know that Luka trade happened, yeah? Mm. I told you, last week we talked about the NBA with Kanajay, and the viewership was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh yeah, they're really struggling.
Really so?
The NBA is really struggling. No one cares about product. No one cares what's going on. Like, do you think the Luka trade was something to get the views up? Think about when it happened.
Eventually.
Think about when it happened, the weekend that it happened, what wasn't happening, and what week it was going into.
Or going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Potentially. Spark interest. Breathe life into it.
Plus, NFL just taking the NBA's corners by doing the Christmas game. Maybe Adam Silver was like, rah. We need to do something to spark life back into the NBA. Because remember, no one cared. I didn't care what was going on in the NBA. I hadn't even been tracking what was going on.
It's true. This was the year that I was actually trying to go for a playoff game, but it was looking dead.
Yeah, it was so to go dead. No one cared. Yeah, and then one trade sparked people back into watching.
Even Butler's gone as well.
Yeah,
Fox has gone.
But no one cared about the Butler fiasco. Butler was doing that for time. No one cared.
It's true.
And as soon as Luka got traded, everyone was back watching.
This trade.
You think Tuika? That's what was happening. Huh? That's the biggest thing that was happening.
Shout out LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball brought his son in it. So see, that Luka trade is a conspiracy, bro. Something happened. They knew that. No one cared about the NBA. I'm telling you. I didn't even look at the standings. I didn't even know where anyone was. I didn't care. I wasn't even bothered. No one cared. And that trade sparked everyone back into life. It's been crap. Yeah, LeBron and his son. That was it.
That's the era.
So that was it. I'm telling you, something happened. They knew they had to do something. Cause that, and think about it. They got one of the biggest international stars into one of the biggest markets. Of course, that will spark interest again.
It's true.
Because you didn't care. I mean, we didn't even talk about it. We had a two-man game where we weren't even looking at the NBA. Man. It was one of the topics that we weren't even caring about. Talk about boxing. Talk about football.
That's true. So what was, you mentioned something on the way here that you said.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking to Kunajai and, you know, we were talking in a chat and we were talking about the NBA, obviously, about the trade. And he was talking about all these super teams that failed. And on one of the earliest episodes of Two Man Game, you and him had a bet. Do you know what the bet was?
Oh, it was Clippers and... Clippers and someone.
Clippers and Nets.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to meet in the final. Do you want to mind us telling us how many final appearances between the two teams?
Zero.
The super team thing failed dramatically.
Oh, crazy.
Absolutely dramatically. And at that time, yeah, when you and you and Ajayi had made that bet, no one could have said that they wouldn't make one final. But I was happy I never got involved in that, because that was the... That was the hype of the... That was a time of hype in the NBA. You were so at it. Well, you were Clippers guy, weren't you? And he was a Nets guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers didn't even... They've made a conference finals. The Nets didn't even make a conference finals.
It's true.
So all these super teams, yeah? Sometimes they fail.
It's true, they do.
They do.
It is true.
I'm sure in this podcast, there's loads of clips of... I once said that I think Anthony Edwards was going to be better than Luka. I'll take that back. Still alive. It's more alive now. We're both in glamour markets. When we made a bet, one was at PSG, one was at Dallas.
Now
we're at glamour markets.
The Real Madrid of the NBA.
Yeah, we're at the Real Madrid of the NBA.
We're not at glamour markets, we're both at the glamorous.
The most glamorous teams of both sports.
Now there's no excuses.
They're mirroring each other.
Yeah, but you know.
No excuses.
My boy's. Hey, you.
Even Usman Dembele is bagging. Oh my gosh. Oh my guys are coming through.
You got into a final. Yeah, last season.
You got to one final.
I got to final 3 years ago. We both lost.
Yeah.
Hey, but.
Hey, let's see with Real Madrid.
We'll see what they do tomorrow.
Man City tomorrow. Man City might have something for you, man. I doubt it.
Just to end, on the Crawford and Canada fight. You know, Crawford is essentially doing what was teed up and planned for Errol Spence to do.
To jump the divisions and fight Canada.
That's what was planned in the PBC brass. It was planned for Spence to beat Crawford.
But he didn't.
And jump up and fight.
Life,
Canelo. So essentially, Crawford is just taking on Spence's plans, Spence's, I guess, potential legacy. You know,
Spence, man.
So Crawford is a disruptor. He's disrupted, and actually, he's been a disruptor his whole career. They've tried to keep him out.
Because he's not a face. He doesn't have the face. He doesn't. He's kind of mirroring the music thing, like with the Drake and the Kendrick, isn't it? Basically, Crawford is Kendrick to Spence's Drake. Because I remember when we talked to you, I love the way Spence does this. Oh, Spence is the nice boxer. Oh, Melo loves Spence so much, man. Spence was his guy.
Still is, man. But he needs to get in the ring.
He's never getting back in the ring again.
But wait, I'll never forget the way Crawford dismantled him.
He dismantled him. He just banged his head like it was a bogo drum.
I mean, that was one of the most shocking displays.
I stayed up for that, you know. I stayed up for that.
Like, cool. I think I even edged Crawford to win because of, obviously, Spence's
carcass and all of this.
But I didn't expect it to be like that. I expected it to be a close half four victory, but that was so decisive. Like, I don't recall a fight being that big and on paper being that close, being that one sided.
Bogo drum, his head got bounced around.
Bro, he beat him up, bro. I was like, yo.
So that's it. That's the keyword. He got beat up.
I was like, yo, this is mad.
That's your boyfriend.
That's equivalent of basically like there being a Champions League final.
And 7-0.
Basically, at least 5-0. At least 5-0. That's 5-0. It's a 5-0, which it could have been more. There are better chances. It was like
bare chances. But you know what? In that fight, I was like, there was no point where I believed Spence was gonna win, and there was no point where I'd be like, I was like, wow, Spence
won the first round, and no, he didn't even win the first. I think
he won the second, maybe second round.
He might have won the first round, but he still got touched. Like, bro.
Damn, at the end of the fight, you see how his face was like, oh, of course.
Bro, it was just like, yo, this is nuts. But yeah, man.
Now, Tommy, don't never doubt Crawford, fam.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But you know what the thing about boxing is that, like, you can be the top guy for a minute, and then all of a sudden, just gone. You're just off the face.
All it takes is one punch, man.
What happened to that? Remember Josh Taylor? The main guy, the challenger, bang.
All it takes is one punch, man.
One punch, one fight, done. And once the facade of you as being as a boxer drops, you're in big trouble. Think about Wilder, who missed one punch, and then, boah.
That's true.
Fury beat him, and after that, even that he lost to Fury now, it doesn't even look that great in the light. Because I think Wilder could have died in the ring against Usyk. Because Usyk wouldn't even try to knock him out. He would just be playing with his head.
No. I don't think die, but Usyk would have dominated him, though. I'd love to see Wilder connect once.
You think Wilder connects once with Usyk? Oh, my.
Now, Usyk, I think Usyk would have 8-8 unless he was a clean punch like that. Because Wilder connect, I think Fury showed that Wilder's power is not that mad.
It's not that mad.
I mean, because...
It's mad. It's not mad.
He may still be the most powerful, but like I said before when Big Eye was here, I truly believe because he puts his all into all his punches.
That's why he can only do so many punches, though.
He doesn't box with proper tact. Like, no other boxer, from memory, I've never seen a boxer put that many into his punches on a consistent basis. Now, obviously, there's times where they swing heavily and wildly, and they probably put it all, but he does it, like, multiple times in a round. You get it, like...
But it's the full force of Wilder's punch. You know that Wilder AJ would never happen? Is AJ going to fight again?
AJ, who's AJ going to fight? I'm not even sure.
Because the bar's already moved on. The bar's facing Parker? Is he facing Parker? Flip. See how Parker's now like number three in the division? Parker skipped bare guys, you know?
Parker's done his thing. You can't.
I reckon Parker will have a good chance against someone.
You can't sneak this. Parker's done his thing.
I think Parker has a good chance against someone like Usyk. Yeah, maybe suits him. Or Andy Ruiz. But I just don't see Usyk losing. He's only lost to one fighter. Of note, what better be of?
You can't sneak Nick Parker's thing. Parker's been grinding, bro.
Anything you want to say before we leave?
Nah, man.
Okay.
It's your boy Mello, your boy JA. It's the TMG boys. Make sure you like and subscribe for us on that YouTube. You know, we rising. I see you guys. You know, keep supporting the shorts.
Keep supporting.
Gonna add in more shorts, you know, clips of this episode eventually at some point. Make sure you follow us on all socials. That'd be the Instagram, that'd be the Twitter. Shout out to boy Akeem. You know, it's the day we posted you. You know, you're gonna go smash it. Hopefully bring Arsenal Champions League.
Let's bring a Champions League to Arsenal.
By then, Akeem the Great, a large one. In fact, Akeem the Dream, the four. But yeah,
he's gonna bring a Champions League.
Make sure you listen to us audibly, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're the TMG boys, and we are out.